All right, guys. So without any further ado, we've got the Boyack review. Today is Tuesday, 2:30. So those of you tune in for Connor's report, we've got Connor on the line. Are you there, Connor?
I am, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing good. So what are you trying to tell me today? That the future is a libertarian future? Is that what you're telling me?
That remains to be seen. We can only hope as much. But now, I turned 30 a couple months ago, and the demographers, I guess is a better way to pronunciate it, they categorize 18 to 29-year-olds as the millennial generation.
Yes,
young,
the millennials,
young voters.
Yes.
And so having recently kind of graduated out of that voting block, I was thinking a bit about this last night. I wrote an op-ed which was just published today in the Daily Caller, and that's what I wanted to talk about is the subject of young voters, what they want, why do they vote the way they do. And it's an interesting thing. I was doing a lot of research on it last night, reading a bunch of articles and polls and things. And, you know, it's well known that youth voters turned out in droves for elections Obama in 2008. Overwhelmingly, like two-thirds voted for Obama over McCain. And so there were a lot of reports trying to analyze why this was and such. And it was really interesting, especially compared to the past several general elections, especially, to see how there was just an overwhelming turnout. It wasn't just there was this general block of voters that always voted consistently in terms of showing up at the polls and they just happened to vote for Obama over McCain. It was that a lot turned out at the polls, record-setting number. And so, you know, their articles were trying to analyze why that was. And now all of a sudden all these articles are coming out saying, why is Ron Paul, the oldest guy running for president, getting so much youth support? Why are the youngest of voters voting for the oldest of guys? You know, they're not getting the appeal of the charisma of the candidate like Obama, who's kind of closer in age and a little bit more hip and able to relate to them. Especially as you were talking about Santorum a minute ago, we're seeing a lot of reports of in Michigan right now the battle between Romney and Santorum and how crucial it is for Mitt Romney to win, where his father was governor, and that if he loses, that there might be a call for a Jeb Bush or someone else. And it's interesting to see a lot of reporters talking about how Michigan voters feel that Santorum can relate to them more, that their entire basis for determining who they support for president for certain people that are being polled and interviewed is who can relate to them. So youth voters, of course, are much the same way. And so to see that the youngest of voters in many cases are supporting the oldest of candidates in Ron Paul has left a lot of reporters quite confused and perplexed as they try and analyze what's going on. So the undercurrent that I analyzed last night or concluded and have long felt is that young people simply want to be free. And it's why, as you suggest, maybe the future, you know, could be an increasingly libertarian one. At least it's going to be an independent one. And by that I mean that in droves, the youth are either not affiliating or unaffiliating with the major political parties. The voting block of independent young voters, 18 to 29 years old, is increasing widely. Now, I think the reason that so many of them turned out for Obama is because they were sick of Bush, and they were sick of their friends and family being buried 6 feet underground prematurely. They were sick of being shipped off to war and sold a pack of goods and lied and the torture and the civil liberties, you know, everything going on. You had this candidate in Obama who was very charismatic and had been harping against these things. I was a couple of weeks ago, I went back and read a bunch of speeches in the Senate when Obama was railing against Bush's policies. They were great. There was a lot of fantastic stuff in there that he was talking about, the rule of law, you know, and the Constitution, even.
Oh, yeah, he's huge on libertarian rhetoric.
Right. But now, so, you know, all these youth turn out, at least in part, to protest against the Bush doctrine, the Bush administration run amok. Now, what's interesting is you see Obama, he still has a substantial amount of support in the youth, but he's gone down over the past 3 years by 29 points. He's hovering now between like 45 to 49% in the youth vote. And he's lost a ton of support. It's gone down almost 30% in the past 3 years. So young people are recognizing, those at least who are paying attention, I would argue, that Obama has been Bush, if not worse, right? I mean, he criticized Guantanamo and torture and these overseas wars when he starts perpetuating and increasing existing wars, taking us into new ones in Libya, for example, keeping Guantanamo open, assassinating American citizens with no due process, claiming the right to indefinitely detain American citizens with no due process. So, you know, a lot of these people, these youth voters, I think, recognize that they are seeing complete hypocrisy in Obama. They've now seen it in both parties, and so they're increasingly feeling alienated and alienating themselves from these two major political parties. So whether they just are kind of a more moderate independent, whether they're more an ideological libertarian, it's a really interesting dynamic, and I think that addresses a lot of the reasons why Ron Paul is finding so much support. He's the one who wants to restrain the federal government. There was a poll last night I read, 75% of youth voters want the government to stop spending so much money and stop taxing so much. Ron Paul is the only one who's presented a substantive plan to, in his plan, $1 trillion of reduction in the budget in his first year. He's the only one saying, let's end the wars, let's bring the troops home, let them be with their families and have productive lives and defend us here in our own country. He's the only one who's addressing a lot of these issues, and I think in him, many people see that it's not a ruse. It's not a Johnny-come-lately, some new kid on the block like we had with Obama. It's not some opportunist who says everything he can to different audiences to get their support, like Mitt Romney. It's someone who for three decades has been saying the same thing. And even if they disagree with him on an issue here or there, which many do, which I myself do, I think that these youth voters see in Ron Paul someone who can be trusted, who even if they have their disagreements, they recognize that he means what he says, and he plans to do it to the extent that he would be able to as president. So it's a really interesting pattern, and I think if we see anywhere close to the same attendance at the polls, at the voting booth, in this general election that we did in 2008, I don't think Obama's going to do nearly as well. And, of course, it really depends, to a large extent, who the Republican nominee is going to be. Because if it's a Mitt Romney versus Obama, I think a lot of these people are just going to stay home.
Yeah, you very well could be right. I was reading City Weekly had like a... they put out some magazine this week as a promotion with their magazine. And in it, Kirk Jowers has an article talking about how... historically, our voting record here as Utahns has just continued to go down time and time again. I think we are like 45th in the nation of just even participating in the vote, and it gets worse every year. We're really a bad state for it anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with these demographic dynamics kind of driving it, it may only get worse if this kind of fake Romney Obama, you know, false alternative is the only real thing. I think one of the bad things. Strategically that the establishment forgot to do was to give some youth entitlement programs, because that seems to be how they lured and seduced the boomers. Oh, yeah. You need Medicare. Oh, you need Social Security. Oh, you need this, that, and the other thing. And they could somehow maintain that cognitive dissonance that they're a conservative and they still are taking part in all these social programs.
Well, and with the youth especially, there's a dichotomy between those who want an easier life, and by that I mean they want access to cheap or free medical care, cheap or free education. They want things to be given to them. And then you've got the youth voters who are more attracted, I think, to Ron Paul because of this, that just want to be free. Just let me do my own thing. I don't need some paternalistic nanny state to take care of me. Just, you know, go away, leave me alone, let me do my own thing. I'll fend for myself. I don't need you involved in my life. I said in the op-ed that I just wrote that, you know, these 18 to 29 voters, they just recently left the care and oversight of their parents. They don't want the government to simply step in and replace that for them. They want to be free and independent. Now, clearly, you have plenty of youth who would love to get quote-unquote free stuff from the government, and that's probably why they gravitate more to Obama, who, you know, promises them those things. But it's really interesting, especially as you see kind of the ideological purity that a lot of youth have, their idealism, you know, especially in contrast to the status quo. They're sick of the status quo and all the compromises and the corruption. They gravitate either towards someone like Ron Paul, who represents at least a substantial portion of what they feel, or they're simply, like I said, just going to stay home, abstain completely, and out of frustration, you know, refuse to participate. Unless that is, of course, they go for a Gary Johnson, or if Ron Paul goes third party, or they have some viable alternative that they feel is possible. What's most interesting about that, I think, is that that almost hands it on a platter to Obama, because the Republican Party, I think, is widely recognized to suffer if Ron Paul does not get the nomination or is not substantively included, thus alienating his base, of which so many youth are a part.
Yeah, I am. It's shocking to me, because you mentioned how you know, a lot of them are identifying as independents now, and they're leaving the two parties. But I mean, you just look at the demographics here in the way voters are distributed here in this state, and independents outnumber both Democrats and Republican in terms of registered voters combined. Mm-hmm. Yet, that's not how the parties play out with regards to those who have the seats. It's largely Republican. Mm-hmm. So it's not really representative. It's interesting. So these independents are still, at least in this state, voting heavily Republican. I'm hoping, I have never seen a candidate get as much sincere grassroots support as a Ron Paul. I just, my first vote was for Bill Clinton's first, and I'm admitting that now. Yes, I was 18. I voted for Bill Clinton back in 91 or 92. But I've never seen anybody have that level of support in the 20 years that I've been voting that Ron Paul does. And it's shocking to me, somebody like a Santorum, how is he getting so much press? It just seems so clearly that the press is biased and manipulating things. Come on back. We're right in the middle of the Boyack Review. Connor Boyack, right here at Mental Self-Defense Radio, AM 630, K-Talk, the voice of Utah. Come on back, guys.
If you have been diagnosed with obstructive sleep apnea and are wearing a CPAP mask, are you among the 75% of CPAP users who cannot tolerate it? Does it make you feel strapped down, interrupt your sleep, causing tooth-related problems? Does it make you feel claustrophobic and you unconsciously remove it during the night? Call Dr. Miles Preble for a comfortable alternate treatment at 801-278-4787. That's 801-278-4787 or online at smileutah.com.
Now, Mr. and Mrs. Sir Galahad, what seems to be the problem?
Ever since he rescued me from the dragon, we've been drifting apart.
Now, this isn't a fairy tale.
Mr. Sir Galahad, maybe if you started by just holding Mrs. Sir Galahad's hand.
Really?
Yeah, try it. Careful, little oil.
Marriage, you're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
It's tax season again. I'm Jim Kirkwood, and I want you to enjoy special KTalk pricing on your tax return preparation. We will charge KTalk listeners less than TurboTax and much less than the national chains and franchises. My partner and I both have experience and tested certification. Certified Tax Professionals offers knowledgeable tax return preparation. Call me, Jim Kirkwood, at 801-915-9927. Why pay more, much more, to get an inferior product? Certified Tax Professionals will do your return accurately and at a low price. Then, if you're audited, we're able to represent you before the IRS. Certified Tax Professionals has an enrolled agent on staff in order to solve any problems that may arise in your return. If you have problems with previous year's returns by other tax preparers, we can represent you. Don't pay a lot of money for nothing. Visit me at Reams Grocery Store on 4700 South at 2700 West from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or call me, Jim Kirkwood, at 801-915-9927. That's 801-915-9927. Thank you very much.
The Voice of Utah, AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
Operator, could you help me?
All right, guys, welcome back. I am Jake Shane, and we are in the middle of the Boyack Review with Connor Boyack, talking about what youth voters want. That call-in number, 801-254-5855. Hey, Connor, we've got a caller. Are you okay taking a caller?
What's up?
Okay. Ali, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon, my brothers.
Yeah, hey, thank you for calling. What do you want to say?
No problem. What I would like to address your question. Originally, you raised a question. You were saying, why Santorum? Why the people?
Yeah, what is the deal with that guy? He's so unappealing on so many levels.
He's not just an appealing. He was thrown out by the public, by the American people. Him and all those new conservatives at that time, the one they dragged you to the Iraq war based on the source information, which that Iraq has nuclear weapons. Well, they protected the source through two presidents, GW and President Obama. You guys just took it like men. You know, you just bend down and you take it. Santorum is the new conservative. In another word, the new conservative agenda originally was to create a historical argument between the Muslims and the Christian. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Even though there is no really misunderstanding, I do not see it. But that's what they're working at. They've been working at for a long time. And when they got discovered and President Obama came to power, they backed off and they lost the election. Like, you remember, I think George Allen from Maryland, who used the word Mukaka, even though Mukaka is an Arabic word, because his mom is a Jewish Arab, George Allen, and he was a senator, and he lost. And one, Rick Santorum was one of them, from the New Conservative. So you're really stuck between the cult and the lobby. You choose, you either want the lobby or the cult. And the vast majority of America does not want the cult, so they have to go along with the lobby, and yada, yada, yada.
Hey, so Ali, let me ask you a question. Who do you like in the GOP presidential race?
Ron Paul, of course, because not because he's against Israel or for it, not because of that, because the nature of the problems you have here in America, regardless of me being an Arab or not, that has nothing to do with it. I see the problems, and I'm a mathematician. I see the solutions. Mr. Ron Paul has, and I think he has a big shot in Virginia, because he will be 1-1 at Mitt Romney. And I think Mitt Romney is melted. I don't know. So, you guys, I think you got to wake up and smell the coffee. When they need to get you to a new war, Iran and Syria, they need another new conservative, because that's the original thought, to destroy Libya, Syria, Iraq, Sudan is coming in the way, and Nigeria. Those countries where there is people are willing to be bad, like a political supermarket like you have here, they create situations where it does not really solve any problem, nor help the average Joe or the average Abdul overall.
The average Abdul, I love it, Ali. Hey, anything else you want to add, buddy?
Thank you very much, and I appreciate your show, dude.
Hey, thank you, Ali.
Thank you.
Connor, what do you make of that?
I think I'm going to use that term from now on.
average Abdul.
That's awesome. No, I think Ali had some really good points, and I think it's why we see a disproportionate and overwhelming amount of support that Ron Paul gets from military, both active duty and retired, because these are the people who we're sending to spill their blood on land half a world away for causes they don't understand. They want to fight. They signed up to fight. We don't have a draft. This is an all-volunteer military for now. And these are people who want to be committed to a cause they can be inspired to fight for. So many of you look at the PTSD, the suicide rates, just the horrible lives that are destroyed, or the wonderful lives that are destroyed by war. And these are people who don't want to suffer for oil or for war profiteering, for the military-industrial complex, or for some neo-imperialistic foreign policy that's just like a big game of Risk. You know, these are people who want to fight to protect America, and God bless them for that, for having that desire. But that is why I think you get so many of these young people, in the military especially, who are supporting Ron Paul, the guy who wants to bring them home. Let them be with their wives. Let them go to college. Let them have family lives and careers, and, you know, still be able to be in the reserves and ready to go fight battles as necessary. But they don't want to be having to Skype from the other side of the world, you know, on a limited basis with the people they love, and it's just ridiculous. So I think that's why we see so many young people coming out to support the people who are saying, we want you to live your own lives. We want you to be able to choose your own destiny. Well, you're not pawns in some big war that doesn't mean anything.
Well, I always chuckle on this whole meme that seems to circulate about, I like Ron Paul except on foreign policy. You know, this retarded, that's a rude word. I want to strike that from the record. But, you know, this lame, repetitive mantra that goes out, and the thing that drives me the most crazy about it is that Ron Paul is the only guy who actually served in the military. He's the only guy who has the overwhelming support of the military, and then you look at somebody who is supposedly strong on foreign policy, and it's Santorum, a chicken hawk who has never served, never gone overseas to fight. Gets no support from the people with boots on the ground seeing what's going on. It boggles my mind. Now, hold on. We got Ivan in Salt Lake City. Ivan, welcome to the show.
I want to spice the video conversation. Did you know that in 2005 and 2006, Rick Santorum was number one corrupt senator?
I've heard that.
Yeah, so right there, it's the problem. But it seems to be the American people are misinformed, and they never really think about, you
but,
know.
But Ivan, I don't think it's the American people. I think it's all perception management, you know, to use the terms of General Petraeus, because I mean, I see the American people, but wait, Ivan, I see the American people standing out in the freezing cold holding signs for Ron Paul, but I don't see American people holding signs for Santorum. I see the media, on the other hand, pushing.
Yeah. The media blackout is significant. Yeah, I agree with that. And this is the sad part. Ron Paul is probably the only hope for this nation. And if the American people blew it, that's too bad.
Yeah, hey, thanks for the call, Ivan. I appreciate it. What do you make of that, Connor? You know, you're talking about the youth vote, that explaining the appeal of Ron Paul to the youth. What happens to that youth vote, say, in 2016 or 2020? You know, let's say that Ron Paul doesn't win. I'm just playing hypotheticals here.
Yeah, no, I think that's a legitimate question. I think it's why a lot of people who were once idealistic in their youth perhaps no longer are as they grow in age, because they see it's not worth it. They're blowing off steam unproductively. They're wasting time. Better to go live their lives and work hard and, you know, amass some wealth and enjoy their families and, you know, worry about their own lives. It's why a lot of people begin to, I think, undermine their earlier philosophy that was more pure, with all sorts of exceptions and qualifications and, oh, well, you know, moderation in all things, and, you know, he's got good points on this side, that, and the other. It's why I think a lot of the youth are so ideologically more pure, I guess you can say, because they haven't yet had to deal with that. And the question is, should they have to deal with that?
But my concern is are they fair weather fans of liberty? Because, you know, they were fair weather fans of Obama, which I can't blame them. But, you know, I'm just hoping that there's something to this this kind of independence that you were talking about, where these millennials, where it sticks.
Right. No, I think a lot of it depends on the outlet that they have, right? Right now, a lot of them have an outlet through a political candidate and the related grassroots efforts that are being conducted to support that candidate to be able to advance the cause of liberty. If not culminating in success, at least educating other people along the way, waking people up, helping them to understand that, you know, the two-man puppet show is just a ruse, that it's all, you know, two sides of the same statist and interventionist coin. So I think a lot of it depends on the outlets that they have. And that's the beautiful thing with the Internet, right? There's so much activism that's going on that anyone can set up websites, social media, what have you, to have a voice. And so I think in our day, regardless of what happens in the 2012 elections, there are so many opportunities, so many vehicles to get the message out. Whereas before it was the mainstream media and you'd shut down any dissenting voice, that can't happen in our day. So whatever happens with Ron Paul, whatever happens in this election, while I think there's probably exceptions to this opinion, I think that the future of liberty is great, because, especially in the hands of the youth, because of the technologies that we have, because of the passion that's there right now. I really don't think this is something going away. I think this is something, you know, Ron Paul will retire and he may not win and he'll one day die. There are going to be other standard bearers. This isn't the Ron Paul show. This is the cause of liberty.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, we can only hope, right?
So let me just kind of try a variation on this theme then, right? What does the old vote want? Because unfortunately, the youth vote, it's important. But really, it's always the, you know, it's the retirees that people are always chasing after.
Sure.
The candidates.
And it's difficult when we talk about just the youth vote and the old vote, or however you want to label them. There's always going to be exceptions, right? We're talking about tens of millions of people here.
Right.
You know, and so you don't want to play the age card and say all old people are like this. There's some great old people who are Ron Paul supporters, tons of them. But I think if we're going to make a general assumption about the old vote, my very general assumption or opinion of that would be this, that they want to protect what they feel that they are deserved. And by that I mean they've been paying all their lives into the entitlement system. They want to be able to retire when they originally planned to, at the age of 55 or 65, be able to live off of, you know, their pensions, their Social Security, what have you. They feel that they've earned a lot, especially when we're talking about the entitlements. You know, they feel that life should be a certain way, that they bought into that, that the government promised them that, free medicine, Medicare Part D, what have you. These older folks have been conditioned to believe that the government is going to do everything for them that they were promised. And I think, so you see a lot of voting support from people at this age supporting candidates who are, for example, Mitt Romney, saying he doesn't want to scale down Social Security. He doesn't want to gut it. He doesn't want to shut it. He wants to fix it. He wants to preserve it. And that is music to the ears of those who want that money for themselves. Whereas the younger folks, we recognize, I think, Social Security isn't going to be around. We're forced to pay into a system that is bankrupt, immoral even, but that's certainly not going to be around when we're older, so we don't care. Scrap it. Let us opt out of the system.
Well, and
let
I can sympathize at least with the side that says, hey, man, you've been taking this money out of my check for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Yeah, I want to get some of it back. I could sympathize because, I mean, I'd like to. I worked for years and years and paid into Social Security, but I feel like I'm straddling both. I'd love to get my money back that I paid in, but it's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen. The thing that's crazy about that is if any business pulled that scheme where money still comes out of my check and yours too, and we're not going to get it back. Mm-hmm. That's fraud, man. There's nothing.
Well, and it's, I mean, to go to your point a second ago, right? Even if we were to be old and Social Security is still there in 20, 30, 40 years, it's not our money that we're getting back, right? The money that we put into it was paid out immediately, used by the government or given to the retirees.
Yep.
Right. So by perpetuating the system, we are advocating and supporting the theft from the rising generation. I think it's why the debt is the hugest issue, and the youth, the young vote, is clear on this. I think that they recognize they're being saddled with this generational massive debt. They're going to be responsible for what the older folks have been piling upon us, and so they're making all the bad decisions. They're forcing us to foot the bill. We're recognizing that we have the short end of the stick as the rising generation to have to grapple with the bad decisions that they've made. So we're wanting to, I think, suffer now in the short term. Let's make some very drastic decisions to get us back on course. We're okay with sacrificing in the short term if it means that our long term is going to be bright. No other candidate than Ron Paul on any side of the two-party aisle recognizes that and is willing to do anything about that. They all want to tinker at the edges. They all want to only cut the proposed increases in the budget and the debt. And it's something that's going to lead to our collapse. And I think that's why the youth largely recognize this. They're sick of it. They realize it's coming from both major parties. They want nothing to do with it. And so if no viable alternative is given them as a candidate for president, like I said, they're going third party. They're going to stay home. I think this is a trend that we're going to see continuing, especially depending on, who gets, like if Santorum were to get the Republican nomination, people would leave the Republican Party in droves, especially the youth vote.
Yeah,
so that's when you
imagine.
See a third party vote, a Gary Johnson, someone like that, get a lot more interest. And I think the people who changed their affiliation because of the disgust with the way things are going, they're going to stick to that. It's going to be an ongoing trend.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Hey, great segment, Connor. Always a pleasure.